Today's daf in Masechet Erevin is daf Tzadichet, and we got up to Esvei Abai. That's about a quarter of the way down. So that means that so far, what we've come up with is that there were two possibilities in how it is to understand our Mishnah. Either we can understand that the Mishnah is going in a sort of funny way. First it's Rabbi Shimon, then it goes to Rabbi Yehuda, then it goes to Rabbi Shimon. And we're talking about a situation in which the Eskufa is basically the same as the situation up on the Gog, and that the Mishnah switches between Rabbi Shimon Shita, that we do not make any kind of gezera when it comes to the Kisvei HaKodesh, and Rabbi Yehuda Shita, that we do. That was one approach. Rabbi didn't like that approach for obvious reasons. So Rabbi learned that there's two different levels of the inyonim of Kisvei HaKodesh. There's the straight-out disgraceful behavior, and then there's things that are inappropriate behavior. And that's the machlokas. So where it comes to the way in which something is hanging off of a roof. So that is considered to be inappropriate. But the case of the eskufa, according to Rabbah, is referring to a case where it's the dresset. So that people walk over it. To have a Sefer Torah lying in a place where people walk over, that is a disaster. That's just not inappropriate. And since over there we're talking about something that is literally a real disgrace for Kisvei HaKodesh, everybody is made. So that we have a very important distinction, according to Rabbah, and indeed we're not going back and forth in the Mishnah at all. So today, Abai has got a problem with these kind of approaches, because Abai points out that it says in the Braita, Eitvei Abai, Toch Arba Amot Golalo Etzlo. So now it depends exactly where it was that it fell. So if it rolls out of the Eskufa and it goes for less than 4 amos into the Rosh Hasharabim, then you can bring it back. But if it falls and rolls like really far into Rosh Hasharabim, and now you're going to be rolling up the Sefer Torah from the Rosh Hasharabim, 4 amos in the Rosh Hasharabim also, then you can't roll it up. And then you have to turn it upside down, and at least it shouldn't be exposed. Now, come on. If you're talking about an eskufa and nidreset, the way that you understand it, what's the difference? Mali toch arba amot, mali chutz arba amot. It makes absolutely no difference to me. And, I mean, this is really, it's a little bit misleading because Abaya is not really only asking on the way that Rabbi explained it. He's asking, really, even if it's going alibet or Rabbi Shimon, you're saying that it's mutter, because the point is, once you're understanding that the Eskufa is a Rosh Hayochid, which is the way that both of you, the original approach and this approach of Rabbah, both took for granted that we're talking about an Eskufa that's Rosh Hayochid, and the difference between the roof and the Eskufa was explained away as being one being Rabbi Yehuda, one being Rabbi Shimon, or by saying that the Eskufa is a catastrophe because it's an Eskufa nidreset. Neither of those approaches work, says Abaya, because if it's talking about an Eskufa that's Rosh Hayochid, can you explain to me what possible difference there is, whether the Sefer Torah rolls out of Arba Amas or not? Are we or are we not dealing with a problem of a possibility of being over on an Issur D'oraisa by bringing it in onto the Eskufa from Rosh Hasharabim, no matter where it rolled to? If it would have fallen into Rosh Hasharabim, then you'll be over on a D'oraisa. And if it doesn't fall into Rosh Hasharabim and you roll it up, so then it never was in the Rosh Hasharabim because it's Ogdol B'yado, you're holding the other end. So why in the world would the Braisa possibly say that there's a difference between within Arba Amos or outside of Arba Amos? It makes no sense. Obviously, we are not discussing a case where either Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Shimon would be talking about the possibility of being over on the Issur D'oraisa in the event that the Sefer would continue to fall and be completely in the Rosh Hasharabim, because otherwise we can't distinguish between two levels of nafkamina, between carrying from Rosh Hasharabim to Rosh Hayochid or carrying Arba Amos in the Rosh Hasharabim. I mean, well, what's the difference? See, Yamit Biskuf and Idreset Askina, Mali Toch Arba Amot, Mali Chutz Arba Amot. If we're not going to be Makbid on the Gezer Drabbanan, so then we won't be Makbid on Gezer Drabbanan in either event. Therefore, says Abaya, it's clear to me that what we're talking about over here is actually a difference between the Eskufa and the Gog in terms of what type of Rishus it is. The Eskufa is actually not a Rishus HaYochid. The Gog is Rishus HaYochid, which makes a great deal of sense. So if the Eskufa is a Carmelite, right? So it's not 10 tefachim high. Okay, so then it's not going to be anyway ever over on an Isser D'oraisa by carrying it in front of Shusser Rabin. That would explain why we make the difference that if it rolled Arba Amos into Rosh Hashanah, oh, then you got a problem because then you may actually carry Arba Amos into Rosh Hashanah. And that, in fact, would be an Isser D'oraisa. Okay, now everything makes sense. So, like, there's no problem, right? So therefore, Tok Arba Amot, we're over there, even if the Sefer was to fall and you bring it all the way up back onto the scope, what's the big deal? There's no Ki of Katas because there's no Isser D'oraisa. Therefore, the Rabbanim were matir it. But Chutzla Arba Amot, we're over there, if it would have fallen down, you would have brought it through Arba Amot, Rosh Hashanah Rabbi, you would have been Chayim. And there, the Rabbanim were not matir it. It makes such good sense as a Bible. We're talking about simple nafkamina in what type of rishus. You guys complicated the whole thing by assuming that this kufa is a kufa rishus hayachid, which doesn't make any sense. Nobody is matir an isser that could come to an isser d'oraisa. Says it doesn't make sense. What do you mean nobody's matir? If you're telling me that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're not allowed to save the sefer from Bizoyan, if there's even this chance that you're going to be over in Isser D'oraisa, so now I understand. And if it's within Arba Amos, if it rolled within Arba Amos, what are you saying? There's no chance it'll break. Let's imagine a case like this. Within Arba Amos, it rolls out into Rosh Hashayach, into Rosh Hashanah. The guy walks down his front stairs. He picks up the Sefer Torah, and he carries it directly back into his house. Is that an Isser D'oraisa or not? Absolutely. So if you're telling me that we're worried about the possibility of an Isser D'oraisa, Rabbi Shimon would never have been matir. So then why in the world, and Rabbi Yehuda over here, who says you're not allowed to, so why in the world would Rabbi Yehuda be matir in this case? And if, I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me, well, what's the big deal? If he picks it up in Rosh Hashanah, and it's not four amas, and now he climbs up the steps to his front door, walks in the front door, so then he won't be chayav anyway, because he had to go through the Carmelite. And if he went through the Carmelite, so then he would not be chayav by going from Rosh Hashanah, carrying something into Rosh Hashanah. If he went through a Carmelite, that's what you'll tell me. V'chitei makim the mafsekas Carmelite, you're not going to be chayav. That's not true. Because Rav already pointed out that if you're mavir chayfetz, mitchilat arba lesof arba, v'heviro derech alav, so don't let this back in Shabbos. Even if you carry from the beginning of Arba Amos Rosh Hashanah, you lift it up so that now it's above 10 tefachim. This is how Rashi understood the sugya the whole time. Tosef understands that you move it from one side of yourself to the other side of yourself with your arm and you throw it at the end. But, well, we'll do it like Rashi. So over there, you'd still be chayev, even though you went through a mokum p'tur, which is l'malam yasar tefachim in Rosh Hashanah, it would make no difference, because if you go from beginning to end through a mokum p'tur, you're still going to be chayev. It means if you go through a karmelis, you will be chayev. So then again, why do we not have a takana d'rabbanan on the question of the possibility of his carrying it directly into his living room, right? Says the Gemara, well, how about if it's a very long entryway, you know, so your porch, your porch is 2 feet wide, but it's 20 feet long, you know, so by the time you get to the front door, and you're about to put your hands into the living room, you say, wait, I just came from Rosh Hashanah, I mustn't do that. So you'll remember, it's a pretty unlikely kind of answer. Or you could say it's a normal front door, and lo biskuf in aruka, but we know human psychology, okay? Human psychology is that when a book falls and you pick it up, you always look into it, right? You always read a little bit. Ah, it's like picking up your phone. Okay, so you can't resist. But once you can't resist, then you already came to a stop. If you already came to a stop, so then it was munach in the iskufa. So because of that, it's very unlikely that somebody who's carrying the Sifrei Kodesh is going to just walk straight in. Amazing. So stam kitvei hakodesh yunimayne b'umumanachlu, then you'll put it down. Says the Gemara, I mean, wait a minute. If you're that curious, why would you wait till you climbed up the front stairs? Why wouldn't you pick it up and then look at it in the Rosh Hashanah and then get involved in what you're reading in Rosh Hashanah? And then when you're finished, climb up the stairs and go directly into your house. So how can we rely on your curiosity being sufficient to keep you in the eskufa? So it won't wait. So, like you might walk out right in. You're right. Okay. So, you know what? What if we're going a little bit of Benaza? Remember, Benaza says, if you are walking, then every single step that you take, you put your foot down on the ground, that's considered to be a hanocha. And therefore, it's considered to be at that point munach, and you would not be chayev, therefore, for carrying it into the Rishus HaYachid. So, Mimela, even though you walked directly over your askufa, you basically did two separate maisim, from the Rishus HaRabim to the askufa, and then from the askufa to the Rishus HaYachid. Yeah, but I mean, maybe what you'll do is you'll pick it up and you'll throw them from the Rishus HaRabim straight into Rishus HaYachid, and then you, even according to Ben Azza, you're going to be chayev because there was no hanocha. The Omer Rabbi Yochanan said that, of course, Ben Azza is mode, that when you throw something, it's not considered to be munach at all until it actually comes to a stop. Omer Vachabar Ava, you see from here, you're not allowed to throw Sifrei Kodesh. At least we have a raya. Don't throw the Sefer Torah back from one side of the shul to the other. All right. So therefore, we've got an understanding now of the Mishnah. We have three explanations. First two didn't do much good, apparently. Rav Yehuda said that we're not makbid, even though it may come to a deraisa, because it's going a little bit of Rabbi Shimon. And then we have Rav Yehuda in the middle. Rabba said that there's two different levels of bizyonos. One of them on a skuf and a dress says, that's terrible. That's a bizoyan mamash, where everybody is made. And then we had Abaya, who said that it's talking about the difference between a carmelist when it's in the eskufa and a gag, which was Rishus HaYachid. Okay, so let's move on to the gag. You're reading on the roof. So then if it's dangling in midair, you should put it back on its ksav. So that at least the ksav isn't exposed. But I thought you're not allowed to put Kisvei HaKodesh upside down on their ksav. Doesn't it say that Kotvei Sefarim Tefillin Mezuzot, they never gave them a heter to turn what they wrote upside down in order to protect it from things falling into it, like bugs may fall into the wet ink and so on. They didn't allow you to do that. The most you could do is you put something over it, but you certainly can't just turn it upside down like it's a library book or something that you're reading in the bathroom. So that itself is a bizoyan. So why is this the proper way to do it? No. Again, because what we're looking at, of course, is a question of relative, right? I mean, it's all contextual. If you're a guy who writes Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah, so there we can tell you, prepare yourself something to cover your work. You know, so you have a little plus to cover, whatever. Okay, but over here, Sefer Torah fell. I mean, what? Right now I have a 30-foot-long baguette that I'm supposed to use to cover. I mean, I'm sitting on top of a roof somewhere. The Sefer Torah is dangling in midair. So it's saying it over there, it's better at least to cover it up by turning it upside down. So over here, I don't have that option. And if I don't at least put it on the ksav, it's even more of a bizayin. So it's all a question of relative. What is the relative bizayin that we're talking about? And then you say that if it's within 10 tefachim, you have to turn it around. Now, I don't understand what the problem is. Why can't I carry it up if I'm still holding the other side and it's just in midair? I mean, where's the Issur D'Rabbanan on that? I don't understand. It's not, it's ogdo biyodo when it's not munach on the other end. There was never a gezerah about that. There was a gezerah about if ogdo biyodo and it's munach in the other rishus. Over here, it's not munach. So what's nafka mina if it's betoch asara? I don't understand what that means. Omar Rava, this was a sugya that we talked about before in Shabbat, that what we're talking about over here is a koto mishupa. So we've got a wall that has an angle to it. And because of that, when it falls off of the roof, it hits the actual wall. And because of that, it is actually munach over there. So, okay, if it's within 10 tefachim. So, I mean, this is machlokas we had back at Shabbos, remember, whether the idea over here is that it's exactly 9 tefachim. And the reason it's considered to be a part of the Rishus HaRabim is because of the Gemara that we've had so many times about an Amud Teisha Tvachim is considered to be exactly the right height to adjust your backpack on. And so then it would be saying that it's only if it fell on the part of the wall that was exactly 9 Tvachim, which is a little bit weird, I mean, to say that. But, I mean, other Steiner, that the, and this is how we bring the halacha, is that the truth is this din about nine being different than 8.5 or them being different than 9.5 is only where it's a flat surface. It's not where you have a slope, because where it's a slope, people generally will just lean against the slope, and wherever it is that it's convenient for them, they'll lean back on the slope and adjust the angle of their backpack. So there was no din of teisha that was said, according to the other Rishonim, in the case of this, a kotel that is on an alakson. Omalei Abaye. Okay. So Abaye says to Mar, you're learning that the Mishnah is talking about Dafka, it has to be a kotel meshupa, right? So could you explain to me how you understand the last part of the Mishnah? That Rabbi Yehuda says, even if it's only like one chut up above the ground, you're allowed to roll it back. Why are you allowed to roll it back? It's, according to you, it's actually munach. And if it's munach, so what's the difference how far it is off of the ground if it's on the edge of a wall? So then it is munach. What's the dafka mina? How far it's off the ground? No, you're 100% right. Obviously, the Mishnah forces the intelligent reader to insert the words that make this make sense. And what would that be? Well, you'd have to put in the following words. So when do we say that this is true, that if it's within Atzara Tvachim, that you're not allowed to bring it back up? That's only Bekoto Meshupa. Aval Bekoto Sheino Meshupa. Then it's okay, as long as it's higher than 3 Tvachim. Because if it's higher than 3 Tvachim, so then it's not lova to the ground. It's not munach on the ground. But once it's lamata mishlosha, and we've seen this all along, that you cannot expect us to use some type of lawnmower device that makes the rishus is completely flat. I mean, everything is ups and downs, and within 3 Tvachim is considered to be basically the ground level. Ground level is not exactly here or there. It fluctuates. So therefore, it's within the lovewood area. So lamata mishlosha hovcho al haktav. Okay, excellent. That's what you'd have to put in. You'd have to read that in, and then it would be fine. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. So now, let's see how this works with, now that I have all this extended Mishnah that I didn't even realize, I have to put in all these extra words. Let's continue reading with Rabbi Yehuda in light of this, okay? So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, afilo inu masuluk min ha'aretz, afilo kamo le'achut, doesn't matter. So why is that? Because Rabbi Yehuda says it doesn't make any difference, even if it's within lovewood. The fact that it's within lovewood doesn't mean that it's standing on the ground, does it? It's within the ground, but I mean, the din of hanocha on Shabbos is not a fiction. It's not something that you could say it's a virtual hanocha. Hanocha is a reality. The question of on what it's munach, yes, that is a halacha with a shear. But it does have to be at rest, right? So I understand if it's got like a tiny little pin that's sticking up from the ground and it's within shlosha. Fine, so then if it's on the pin, then it's at rest. So you'll say, but it needs to be at rest on a mokum choshev. It is, because it's also on the ground, because it's lova to the ground. Except that lova to the ground alone is not going to make it physically at rest. So you need both issues. Makes a lot of sense. So therefore, Taina's Rabbi Yehuda, you need anocha gabi mashu. I mean, it's got to be at rest on something. So then that would be Rabbi Yehuda Shita. That's why he says, even on a pin, it's fine. So even on a thread, it's fine. Says the Gemara, I'm not so sure that works out. Because then when Rava said, that when you're talking about, remember we had the Shaila of somebody who throws from Rosh HaSayochi to another Rosh HaSayochi, Derek Rosh HaSarabim, and at that point Rabbi Akiva said that anything that is inside of that area, it's kluta, it's called kluta, it's kibishoncha. So if it's inside of the area, it's considered to be munach there. And the Rabbanit say it's never munach, even if it's kluta. And over there, Rava explains that even if it's within Shlosha Tvachim, it, according to the Rabbanan, is not considered to be munach over there when they argue in Rabbi Akiva. Why? Because it has to have hanocha on something. So then you're telling me that Rava explained the Mishnah as a machlokas of Tanoim? And he's saying that the Mishnah of the Rabbanan going dafka according to Rabbi Yehuda? And not according to the Chachomim. I mean, over the time it comes, it's the Chachomim. Why would we do that? So therefore, we need to again look at this Mishnah and fix it up a little bit, and again say it's Chusurim Mechasra, and we'll have to read it like this, that it's all going Aliba Rebbe Yehuda, and there's not any kind of machlokas between the Tanakam and Rebbe Yehuda, and the Mishnah is missing a few words, and you have to throw in like this. Then afilu pachot mishloshat tvachim gololo, it's low, and there never was a Tanakama that said otherwise. So then we had thrown in those words that if it's lovud, then you can't carry it back. Now we're changing that. Forget about lovud. There was no lovud. Even if it's pachot mishloshat tvachim, there'd be no problem. And the reason for that is, instead of reading that Rebbe Yehuda is another opinion, we're now reading it that Rebbe Yehuda is the source of that opinion. The reason for the need for it to be on something is because Rebbe Yehuda Eimer, afilo eino mesulak ben haaretz afilo melo achud gololo etzlo, because we need hanocha al gabe mashahu. Okay, the reason for that, as we said before, is that there's a difference between the definition of the chashivas of the rishus, which is a function of lovud, and the physical actuality of being at rest. So basically what we're doing so far here is we're talking about accommodations, same way we did in Masechet Shabbat. Note that someone asked yesterday whether the question of metalta pochas mi arba arba, pochas dalad amas in Rishus HaRabim would normally be usher, as I said in the shir, and the din is, of course, that it is normally usher. Though what you're remembering is that at the end of Shabbos, we also had the idea of where do we make accommodations. In Shabbos, we did this a few times because we needed to make a lot of different types of accommodations that would allow us to live practically with gzeiros of muktzah and so on and so forth. Here in Erevin, we're putting together the different accommodations that have to do with hotzah. There we spoke about there is an accommodation if a guy, remember, is stuck outside with his wallet and he didn't make it back into town in time. So there, in order to avoid the problem of Adam Bohol al Mamono and the problem of carrying directly, the Rabbanan also made accommodations for carrying pochos pochos mi arba amos or Litzorach Mitzvah sometimes we spoke about in Gabi Mila and things like that. And here we're talking about as well Litzorach Kisvei HaKodesh. So, once again, this is part of some of the accommodations that we had earlier here in this Pesachet as well. And we are now ready for our most beloved Kapitan. I see you. Are you in a zoo, Richie? I got you. And it sure sounds like that was a pretty heavy cholent yesterday, Richie. let's hope we can lift up this Mishnah. So Ziz Shelifnei Achalon. So we've been talking about problems of things possibly falling into Rishus HaRabim and whether we would just avoid making a gezera as we usually do in those kind of circumstances in order to avoid allowing any type of bizoyan for Kisvei Kodesh. Now, there are also other cases where we do have to worry about things falling. And that leads us to discuss the following case. Ziz Shelifnei Achalon. So we're talking about over here, you've got this shelf that's sticking out and it's in front of a window. So basically it's 10 tefachim above the ground. It's 4x4 and it itself is a Rishus HaYochid. So there's no problem of taking things from your window and putting it onto that Ziz, because all you're doing it is moving it from your own personally owned Rishus HaYochid into your own personally owned Rishus HaYochid, and it's just like an extension of your house. So why not? Okay, let's understand, where is this shelf sticking out over? I understand that from the point of view of your home, it's an extension of your home. What's on the ground underneath it? Is it your chutzer, or is it over a large street, so it's really over Rishus HaRabim? I mean, if it is, in fact, hanging out over Rishus HaRabim, then why don't we have our typical concern that we don't do things that could lead you to bringing from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid? And in this case, if you put things out on a ledge, then, you know, there's real chashash. The wind comes along, something like that horrible thing I did with my neighbor I told you about, where my plant fell down on this old lady's yard, missing her by a couple of feet. Oh, gosh. Yeah, and she looked up and I said, darn, missed. Anyway, so, yeah, we don't want that kind of thing happening to Rishi Sarabim, because over there we're afraid you're going to go downstairs and you'll bring it up. So why don't we just have our standard Yizera? So probably the reason that it's not a problem is that it's not over Rishi Sarabim, and then we don't have a problem because, let's say, it's over your chutz or whatever. But then it's pshita. I mean, like, what possible chiddush could be involved in telling me I'm allowed to go from my house onto a shelf in front of my house? Why not? Says Abaya, you're right. There's got to be a chiddush. Therefore, I would suggest that we're talking about actually that it is mafik Rishi Sarabim, and it's over Rishi Sarabim. And maybe what the Mishnah is saying is that even though normally you do not have a right to adjust a situation for a particular case, right? If the Rabbanu would say, don't put things in a way that would cause you to bring them up from Rishi Sarabim, so the way they would say it is, don't put things where they can fall into Rishi Sarabim. In this case, it's not what they said. In this case, they said, don't put things in a place that can cause you to carry from Rishi Sarabim. And that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah, which is not really a typical way of making Gezerah. And it would mean that you would be allowed to put down things that if they would fall to Rishi Sarabim, you wouldn't go get them because they'd be shattered into a million pieces. Then therefore, it's talking about breakables. So it means Kelim HaNishborim, specifically breakables, you'd be allowed to. That's a Chiddush, and that's what the Mishnah has forced us to come to understand. Tanya Nami Hachi, Zid Shalifnei Achalon. In fact, the Braita that likes to spell things out more than a Mishnah. The Mishnah, of course, Rebbe was very careful to give the absolute minimum of information that would allow you to reconstruct what we're talking about and to maintain the independent structure of your mind's interaction with Torah Shebaal Peh, which is such a fundamental characteristic of Torah Shebaal Peh. And only as the Dorot proceeded, did people write more and more until it gets to be impossible to read anything because they're talking to idiots and they sound like Sesame Street. I don't know if you're allowed to read that kind of form and write them. But anyway, certainly over here, the Braita was the next step along. And the Braita extended this and said, you're allowed to put things that are breakable. So you could put down karot, kasot, kitoniot, luchiot, fine. They're made out of cheres, they're made out of glass, I understand. That would be fine. Now, the Braita adds a little bit, and furthermore, you'd even be allowed to utilize the entire wall. In other words, let's assume that this is like a shelf that extends way beyond your window. This is how Rashi understands it. Extends way beyond your window. So you got to like stretch out and put your hand all the way to the edge. Certainly more of a chance that things are going to fall. And nonetheless, you can use the entire length. Tosus understands that the idea of here is Chorei Rishus HaYochid. Chorei Rishus HaRabim, if they would have been within Asara. But once they're above Asara, so then it's talking about like little holes and things in the walls. It's got a little window and you have a plant in there. So then you're allowed to stick your hand in there to put the plant in, whatever. But as long as it's within a higher than 10 tefachim. Once it's within 10 tefachim, so then you've got a problem. But im yesh ziz echad lamata mimenu, if there's another shelf that's underneath your shelf, which is more than 10 tefachim above the ground, so then you can even use that one. But the top shelf, you can't use unless it's directly against the window. I mean, this makes absolutely no sense. If there's no shelf under it, then you can use the top one. But if there's a shelf under it, then you can't use the top one unless it's connected. What's going on over here? So ask the Gemara, can you explain what's going on? What's this piece, the closing of the Braita? So you're talking about the upper shelf. Forget about the lower. Who cares about the lower shelf, all right? So explain to me again, what are we talking about over here? Either let be'arba'a, if it's not four tefachim wide. So then, I understand that you want me to take into consideration the fact that it's a makom patur, but that's not the point. I mean, if it's that thin, so then for sure I can't use it. Why? Because for all intents and purposes, it's going to look like I'm throwing things out of the window. I mean, if I don't even have four tefachim to put something on. So then when the neighbor looks up and you've thrown the flower pot on their head, I know, it looks like you threw it directly out of the window on their head. You know, I mean, at least you know, give it a chance. You know, no, I'm putting it like, you know, 3 inches right from the edge. And it's terrible. So then you shouldn't even be able, if it's that thin, you shouldn't be able to use it because it looks like you're throwing things into the Rishon LeRabim. And if it does have, so then we're back to what we said in the beginning. We said if it has arba tefachim, so then you can use the entire wall's length of the ziz. This is beferish, even if it isn't neged the chalon. So how did all of a sudden at the end of the brisa, we now change it? No, you're not allowed to use it. And if you're not allowed to use it, who cares if it is neged the chalon? Om Rabbi, let me explain to you. Obviously, this is a more complex case. The bottom, the shelf, if you have one under the other. So that bottom shelf does have four tefachim. The up, and therefore it says you can use the bottom shelf. You think if I have to put my hand around the upper shelf, so I shouldn't be able to. No, you're allowed to use the bottom shelf because I don't have to be choshesh that it's going to fall, and it certainly doesn't fall immediately. So it doesn't look like you're literally throwing things at the neighbor. And it also is not a concern of ours that you're going to go down and pick it up because, as we said, you're only allowed to put breakables there. Okay, fine. I appreciate that. Now, the top shelf is along the entire wall, it's not four tefachim wide. The thing is that when it gets to the windowsill adds another two tefachim up to the window. So now you do have four tefachim by four tefachim, right? Because it's keneged the chalon. So therefore, keneged the chalon, you can be mishtamesh because that's basically an extension of your chalon. And there's no chashash that it's going to look like it's falling. But the high gisa asur. However, when it comes to putting things on the side where it's not for tefachim on its own, that you can't do. That's all that the Braisa is clarifying. So the Braisa adds two very simple ideas. One simple idea is that even if you've got to get around the upper shelf, you can, and it's okay to use a lower shelf. That's a chiddush. And the second is that even in the event that it's a very thin shelf and you're not allowed to use the continuation of the shelf along the edges of the wall, in the area where it's keneged the chalon, you certainly have a right to view it as an extension of your windowsill, and now you've got an area that's usable, which in fact many people do. They put their plants and so on right over there.